J1, number 13A.
Jen, I'd like us to start then where we left off, and that was considering on our illustrative material the question of soul. And we were right there at that idea which illustrates soul, which talks about the representative of soul. And when we come to the compendium and we encounter this major heading of man is the representative of soul. Now, when we encounter this particular heading, let us always maintain this high standard of spiritual reasoning. And this is what we have been doing now in the times together, is that we have been culturing a very high standard of spiritual reasoning. And we've actually been cultivating our consciousness to look out from that third degree of spiritual understanding. Therefore, we are cultivating our consciousness to look out from the divine mind. So, as we encounter every one of these ideas, let us then maintain this high standard of reasoning. And when we do this, this means that we must always attend the birth, so to speak, and when one attends the birth of the divine idea, one must always detach mortal thought from all material conceptions. Now, this means that we must always drop all of our old dualistic concepts that have more or less plagued mankind for, let's say, 2,500 years. So it always demands quite a bit of us when we start studying this idea to go into our room and to take out the garbage, so to speak, just drop all of the old concepts we have. And more or less, we really have to do this now as we're reasoning with the spiritual symbols of God and man. Because in our consciousness linger all the old false concepts and teachings that have been taught about these symbols. Therefore, we have perhaps many dualistic concepts which come from reasoning with these symbols in a false way. Now, as we have seen, these are very spiritual symbols. These are symbols that were given to us by the biblical writers when they wrote the Bible, and their concept of these symbols are very high and very spiritual. Therefore, we must maintain the spiritual reasoning with these symbols as we go through our study. Now, in order then to understand these terms, God and man, we must look at them always fresh, always new, with spiritually scientific eyes. We must always look at these symbols with the eyes of a young child. We should never look at them then with all of our old education and beliefs. Now, again, as we have seen, the symbol God was a super symbol which was given to us by the biblical writers. And this symbol, God, is a very spiritual symbol, and it's a very good symbol. And especially for the time when the biblical writers were writing, they were looking for a great big super symbol, one word, so to speak, that would incorporate the whole divine identity. So God was a super symbol which stood for our whole true divine identity. So instead of having to always go through the nature of our divine identity, the biblical writers could just say God, and automatically we would know they meant what they were talking about then, our true divine identity, and not about our mortal identity. Now, as we know, Mary Baker Eddy then went through and defined this super symbol God. And when she actually defined the super symbol God, she was defining in depth the nature of our true identity. And she, therefore, as we know, defined our true identity then as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And today we see how very easy it is for us to say, well, I am mind. My very own mind is the divine mind. Or I am idea intelligence. Or we can very easily say today, I am spirit, or I am all the ideas which characterize spirit. Therefore, I am the idea purity. You see, it's very natural for us to say this. So today we are beginning to more and more be able to feel very much at home and feel very much at ease in this third degree of spiritual understanding. We're beginning to feel more at ease in the realm of the divine mind. And we get into this realm, therefore, of the divine mind just by claiming that I am mind and my very own mind is the divine mind. Now, we say this, we say that I am mind, of course, with spiritual understanding, and it's in a very high state of consciousness we say this. And when we say I am mine, then we very well could say in biblical terminology, I am God. Because we know that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love stand for God. So we're actually, in the biblical sense, saying I am God. I am mind. I am all the ideas that characterize mind. I am spirit. I am all the ideas that characterize spirit. So what we must do and see is that we must spiritually and scientifically identify ourselves with all that biblical symbol God stands for. We mustn't think and drop back in the old way of reasoning that there is a God somewhere and that there's a man down here and I am man. That is a misunderstanding of our true identity that is reasoning incorrectly with those spiritual symbols. The correct way is to look out from oneness and say, I am mind, I am spirit, I am soul. So we identify ourselves with everything that God is. Now we can say, all right, that's fine. I very easily then, in being able to cultivate a consciousness that can identify with that big biblical symbol, God. But I say, what about that biblical symbol, man, that we have always kind of associated ourselves with in a dualistic way? And again, in a spiritual and scientific sense, man was just a super symbol, just as a symbol God was. And man was used as a symbol by these biblical writers, which stood for the self-operation of being. Therefore, when we state our true identity, I am mind, then that mind must have its self-operation, and that was given in the biblical terms, man. But you see, when reasoning with those symbols, one uses God or I am mind, and it must have its self-operation or its self-expression. So they needed a symbol that would represent self-expression, and the symbol which they used was man. Now, therefore, again, spiritually and scientifically understood, man is a symbol then which stands for the divine expression, the divine operation, the divine image, or the divine idea. So when we say, mind sees itself, or we say that mind is conscious of itself, or we say that mind expresses itself, we are actually reasoning with these biblical symbols of God and man. Can we see that? When we say mind sees itself, or we say the divine mind is conscious of itself, is actually saying this in biblical terms, God is conscious of himself. Can we see this? When we say the divine mind is conscious of itself is the same as saying God is conscious of himself. We have just, and Mrs. Eddy has just in newer terms, explained God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. But when mind, the divine mind, or God, is conscious of itself, then when God was conscious of himself, they gave that act of being conscious of himself the term man, you see. Now, therefore, these are very spiritual and very scientific symbols, and they are used to explain our divine identity and operation. And as we have mentioned in class just before, that Mrs. Eddy saw that there would be confusion reasoning with these biblical symbols of God and man. They're perfectly fine symbols if one interprets them scientifically. But she saw that there would be confusion, so near the end of science and health, she dropped the term God and she dropped the term man. And in place of the term God, as we know, she gave the term principle, which is a term that incorporates all the synonymous terms. And in place of the term man, she gave the term idea. So therefore, instead of always reasoning in terms of God and man, which could be taken incorrectly, we now reason in science with the terms principle and its idea. So, with that in mind, let us go on. And in Science and Health, we read then that soul and its representative man. Now, what does this mean spiritually and scientifically? Now, let us go step by step through this statement and dissect it so that we can really see what it means spiritually. And always let's maintain our high standard of reasoning. Now, this is more or less drilling and drilling and drilling. And when you go through the compendiums by yourself, you must constantly maintain your high standard and drop all dualistic reasoning. And it's something that you must really work on, because lingering in our subconscious are just old beliefs and we constantly have to kick them away. So, let's dissect the statement and then I can show you step by step how one really reasons spiritually and scientifically when one is by themselves. Now, we read, soul and its representative man. Now, how would we reason this out spiritually, and how would we reason this out scientifically? Let's just begin with the statement, soul and its representative man, and see soul. Now, soul is just a super symbol for our true identity. It's a super symbol that stands for true identity. So, as we have seen then, our true identity is that I am mind, therefore I am the divine mind, and I am all the ideas that characterize mind. I am spirit. I am all the ideas that characterize spirit. I am soul. I am all the ideas that characterize soul. You see, this is our true identity. And soul is just a super symbol that says, well, your true identity is that you are the divine mind in expression, and you're all that the divine mind and spirit symbolize. Now, soul just the same, and that is your true identity. So, when we go through this process of correct identification, this is always symbolized by the term soul. When we identify ourselves correctly always, then we are working with that super symbol, soul. Now, again, soul and its representative man, in place of that super symbol soul, we could say true identity. So we could actually have that sentence read, true identity and its representative man. Now, we say, all right, true identity, and we know within us that all that true identity means, that it means that it means mind, it means spirit, it means soul. So we say true identity and its representative man. Now, we come and look at the symbol man. And again, man, we saw, stood for the divine expression or the divine operation of being or the self-operation of this true identity. So in place of that term man, we could say the divine, the true identity and its representative idea, you see. Instead of soul and its representative man, we could say true identity and its representative idea. In place of man, we can just say idea. Now, we go on. We have true identity and its representative idea. Now, let's look at that word or term representative. What does it mean? Why does it say true identity and its representative idea? The word representative actually means to represent or to represent. Now, it comes from, to represent comes from the Latin root meaning to present again. It comes from represent, or re meaning back again, to present. So, to represent means to represent or to present again. Also, representative means one who represents another in a special capacity, an agent, or a deputy. Now, we'll see this slowly. We have for our sentence now true identity and its representative idea. This means that true identity is represented by its idea. This means that true identity is presented again by its idea. This means that the divine idea or the divine image or the divine expression always presents true identity again. The divine idea or image always presents the divine idea again in a special capacity. We can say that the idea or image always then presents true identity again in an individual and new way. Always in a new way is the idea representing or representing that true identity again, you see. So for an example of what representative means as an idea which characterizes soul, we can say that the divine mind and its representative idea. Now, what does this mean? The divine mind and its representative idea. This is then saying that mind's idea or mind's image is always presenting mind again in new ways, yet that image or idea always remains mind. Now, can you follow that when you're in your studying, when you're reasoning with the compendiums? You see, we started out with this. This is in kind of a drill type of way here, and I want to see if you can follow this line of reasoning. Because you could read soul and its representative man and think, well, soul has a deputy or agent named man somewhere, that soul has some secret agent out doing the work for him. You know, one could think soul and its representative man, well, there's a soul somewhere and is being represented by a special agent, a separate agent called man. Now, what we see, no, we want to reason spiritually and scientifically. Now, let's just see if we can do it again. First, we started out with soul and its representative man. And we saw soul then could just mean true identity. So we could say true identity and its representative idea. So instead of soul and its representative man, we say true identity and its representative idea. And this is just saying that the divine idea always presents true identity again in new ways. You see? Representative means that the idea just represents mind again in new ways. That's all it means. Now, let us go on in the compendium and see how we can help ourselves reason. And I like to do this with you because when you're alone, it's often maybe harder to maintain a high degree of spiritual reasoning. Now, in the compendiums, we'll read a sentence like this. It'll say, God, in order to be God, must express himself in his own essential nature and being. He does this through his representative man. Now again, you could feel there's a God somewhere who has a representative man down here as a special agent, and this is the old dualistic reason which most people would feel. When you read this and say he does this through his representative man, you feel that there's a separation here and somebody is being representing somebody else, you see. Now, we want to avoid this dualistic trap of reasoning. So therefore, it says then, God, in order to be God, must express himself in his own essential nature and being. All right, God. As we have seen scientifically, God means principle, and principle just incorporates all the other terms, such as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So we could say, God, in order to be God, must express himself in his own essential nature and being. We could very easily say then, principle, in order to be principle, must express itself in its own essential nature or being. Or we could say, mind, in order to be mind, must express itself in its own essential nature and being. And this means that mind, in order to be mind, must express itself. Otherwise, mind would be void. Mind must express itself, you see. And when mind expresses itself, it expresses itself and nothing else. But the mandate or law of mind is that mind must express itself in order to be mind. It must have its expression. It must have its image. It must have its idea. Mind must express itself. This is a law of mind. Now, if mind must express itself, how does it express itself? So in the compendium we go on, and it states, God must express himself, and he does this through his representative man. This just scientifically means, as an example, mind must express itself, and mind does express itself through its representative idea. Therefore, mind's idea always represents mind again in a new way. Now, that is a way of looking at that particular sentence in the compendium. Now, also in Science and Health, we read, man is the expression of soul. Now, again, we want to see what this means scientifically and spiritually. Man is the expression of soul. This just means that the divine idea is the expression of soul, or that the divine idea or image communicate or expresses true identity. So when we say man is the expression of soul, we're actually saying that the divine idea communicates or expresses true identity. That's what the divine idea does. It communicates and expresses mind, you see. That's what its office is. The image that we see, there's mind, but it forms the image, and that image and idea is always communicating and expressing that mind. There's activity to mind. Mind isn't null and void. It's expressing itself. And the idea, therefore, is expressing mind. It's communicating mind, you see. Now, do we understand then the way of maintaining high spiritual reasoning? And when we're alone and we go through the compendium, let us remember this when we're reasoning with those biblical symbols, God and man, and let's not drop into any dualistic trap of reasoning. And when we do this, you see, we're reasoning in the third degree of spiritual understanding. We're actually in the realm of the divine mind. We're looking out from oneness, and we're looking out from perfection. Now, this then is the third degree, looking out from perfection and looking out from oneness. Now, there is a very big question which we always should think about, and this is this question of metaphysics and science. What is the difference between metaphysical reasoning and science? And it has to do with the difference of perhaps even looking at these different terms, God and man. You see, we have been reasoning with those symbols, God and man, from this high point of science. We've been reasoning in this point of oneness and out from perfection. Now, that's the third degree. The first degree, we know, is limited thinking. It reasons, which we call false beliefs, just constitute mortal mind. And this first degree always wants to reason then in dualism, and it wants to reason out from imperfection. A mortal mind, then, we know, will then want to reason with those symbols, God and man, dualistically. And again, we know over and over again, I just drill that it will reason that there exists, God exists somewhere else, and man exists here, and I am man. That's mortal mind, first degree, dualistic reasoning. And it not only says, I am man, but mortal mind reasoning also says, I am man and I am imperfect, you see. That's all first degree mortal mind reasoning consists of. It's a dualistic reasoning which goes out from imperfection, and everything it sees, it will reason with this dualistic logic, and it will reason out from imperfection. That constitutes mortal mind. So, again, in Christian Science, we have two terms which designate from which degree of awareness we are reasoning. And these are terms which we should become familiar with because they're used in our study over and over again, and Mrs. Eddy uses them, and we should understand them. And these two terms are science and metaphysics. Now, science. Let us look at that term, science. Science means that when we are reasoning spiritually and scientifically correct with those symbols, let's say, of God and man, then we can say we are looking out from the view of science. When we are looking and reasoning from that third degree of spiritual understanding or from the divine mind, when we are reasoning then from the point of oneness and from the point of perfection, that is the view of science. So when we say we are reasoning out from science, then we're reasoning out from that third degree, we're reasoning out from the divine mind, we're reasoning out from oneness, and we're always reasoning out from perfection. That's the view of science. It's reasoning out from oneness and always out from perfection. Now, what is the view of metaphysics? When we reason then out from the first degree of mortal mind, or from the second degree of the human mind, and we're reasoning then in terms of dualism, or we're reasoning in terms of imperfection, we can say that is the view of metaphysics. Metaphysics is always a reasoning in dualism. It's always reasoning in dualistic terms with those symbols, God and man. It's always looking out more or less from imperfection and always trying to gain perfection. So it's metaphysics is looking out either from the first degree or the second degree, looking out from dualistic reasoning or looking out from imperfection. Now, do we have that? Can we feel that? That's the, where those two, what those two terms designate. Now, in metaphysical reasoning, then, is something where we always will drop our sense of perfection, and we'll reason out, therefore, that there exists a God somewhere else, and I am man, and therefore I must gain perfection. So, therefore, when we reason, we will say, I must try very hard to become intelligent. You see, that is metaphysical reasoning. When we say, I must try very hard to become intelligent, means that I am looking out from imperfection, I am looking out from a separation, and I must become intelligent. It's trying to attain perfection, you see. It's looking out from a dualistic standpoint that wants to attain perfection. It's looking out from the first and second degree that wants to attain the third degree. But when one is reasoning from science, one is looking out from that third degree, looking out from oneness, looking out from perfection, and we declare, I am the idea intelligence. That's the difference between metaphysics and science. Metaphysical reasoning tries to attain perfection, first or second degree awareness. Science is always looking out from the third degree and is at the point of perfection. Now, when we go through these compendiums, we must be aware that they are written mainly in mind with the idea of bringing the reader out of metaphysics into science. These compendiums are written from the standpoint of trying to bring the reader from the first, out of the first degree, out of the second degree, out of dualistic reasoning, out of imperfect reasoning, and bringing the reader then into the third degree of science, or into the third degree of the divine mind. So this is the main idea of the compendiums. It will start where the reader is, it will start where the reader thinks it is in the realm of metaphysics, and it will bring the reader into the realm of science. Now, an example of this, again, I'd like to drill, because you'll run into this when you're studying, and I want to present how we should see it correctly. In the compendium number 6 on page 170, under the heading, Man is the Representative of Soul, we can read this sentence. It reads, if man refuses to identify himself with his body, his physical senses, his parentage, and etc., but rises above sense testimony and identifies himself instead with divine qualities, then he is the representative of soul and not of sense.